Titus chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. I will not be long this morning because I do want to get out of the way and I do want to pray and dedicate some babies today. And we thank God that they're here. And it's an incredible time that we could come together, because I remember 19 years ago that my kids were under pews, and Brooklyn was, and I remember her when she was about two or three, when she was able to walk, that she had grabbed my finger and with her whole hand, and we would walk up and down this church, and she would repeat after Daddy, and I know I've said it to a lot of people, but I'll say it again, because my kid, I can brag on them. When you get the mic, you can brag on your kid. But I remember, because our kids do what we do. And I remember when my little girl, she wanted to be like Daddy. And I'd say, I love you, Jesus. And she'd say, I love you, Jesus. And I said, I want to live for you. I'm with you. And I'd start speaking in tongues. And she'd start, hubba, 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 hubba. I'm going to tell you, the best thing we could ever do is bring our kids right here. Titus chapter 2, verse 1 says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. At the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity, in patience. And the aged women, that's a nice thing to say, the aged women, not the old women. Husbands, you call your wife old, you may get dinner out there in the doghouse. Aged women, mature women. Likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Hallelujah. A lot of men said amen to that. But also, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Amen to that. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the work of the Lord be not blasphemed. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. I want to talk a little bit this morning on this thought, building for the future. Building for the future. Turn to that person next to you and say, I want to build for my future. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. At the close of life, the question never is, how much have I gotten? But rather, at the close of life, the question is, how much have I given? When I'm on, or when they are on their last words, it's not how much have you saved, but how much have you sacrificed. It will not be how much have you loved and served, but rather how much were you honoring the King and the kingdom. I want to speak to you this morning on this wonderful Hallowed Sunday morning in Tulare, California. I want to talk to all of us. I want to talk to me. A lot of times when a preacher preaches, 90% of it is to the preacher. And so I'm preaching to me today as I'm speaking to you as well. And I want to build for my future. There's a lot of people that are trying their best to build for retirement, to build and pad their 401k and make sure that they got the right job, make sure that they got enough for retirement. But I want to look a little bit further beyond than what the world says, because the world has a slogan that he that dies with the most toys wins. I don't believe that's the truth, because Mark 8:36 says this, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? As for me today, I want to make sure that I'm building the right things. And I want you to know today that if I ever achieve anything in this world that I live in, my number one goal in life, my number one objective in the few years that I have is to somehow impart this glorious word that I have received into my children. I may never make $1 million. I may never have my name go down in the history books. I may never be a success in the world's standpoint, but if I have influence over my family, if I can somehow influence my children, if I can influence my house and my home, if I have taught them the Word of God and somehow got this Word into their hearts, if I have helped them to find their own relationship with God, if I've trained them in the right way, if I have taught them in the ways that they should go, I would be of all men so very grateful. I would be grateful as a husband. I would be grateful as a father, because the bottom line is my number one goal in life is number one, I want to be saved, but the next to that is I want my family to be saved. I want them to go to heaven. I know I can't make up their minds. I know I can't make up your minds, but if I could somehow play a small part in the choice that they have made, I would be grateful to the Lord today. That's why Titus 2:1 says this, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Speak things that are true. Speak things of the Word of God, because I'm telling you, what we say really does matter, because our kids repeat what we say. Just told you about my little girl. Deuteronomy chapter 6:4 says this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord what? With all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt what? Diligently teach them unto thy children. We have a job to do. We've got a responsibility that we shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign on thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and upon thy gates. What is it that they were supposed to write? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Proverbs 22:6 says this, Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. The children of Israel made it a point in their lives to keep God real in the lives of their family by getting this word of God into their hearts, by teaching them when they sat in the house, when they walked by the way, when they laid down, and when they would rise up. It would always be, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. They put it in their hands. They put it between their eyes. They put it upon the doorpost. And so the question is, why did they do it? Day in and day out. Why did they do it from the morning to the evening time? I'm telling you, because they wanted their kids to know that there was only one true and living God. They wanted them to have a firm belief of this self-evident truth that would arm them against idolatry. That's what they faced in their generation. They faced idolatry, and they wanted their kids to know that no matter the day of the week, no matter the time of the day, they're going to learn that one principle, and that principle was, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And so we have a job to do. Can I tell some moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas and uncles and aunts that we've got a huge responsibility, and that is we've got to teach our kids in the way that they should go. We've got such a huge obligation to our families to keep the Word of God into their hearts. I'm going to tell you, it's a shame today for kids to know about lyrics of songs and all the names of college and baseball teams and football teams, and yet they don't even know the books of the Bible. Oh, they could tell you about a movie they watched. They could tell you about the things that they beheld on this wonderful device that somehow gets into the brain. But they don't know anything when it comes to the Word of God. Now, in no way, shape, fashion, or form am I trying to demean or condemn anybody, because I know that God is not the author of condemnation. God is the author of love. But what He wants us to do, He's given us a beautiful truth. And the Bible said, if we hide this truth, if we hide this gospel, it's hid to them that are lost. So our job is, as we freely receive the Word of God, it's our job and our responsibility to freely give it. We got to let our kids know. There are times when I travel down the road, we're taking a journey down the road, we'll unplug devices and say, okay, it's trivia time. And they're like, what's trivia time? Okay, give me some scriptures about the oneness of God. Give me scriptures about salvation. I don't know what it is, Brother John, but how can I be saved? Well, just love one another. Just confess the Lord with your... No, that's not the way it is. We live in a microwave society that wants to have it now, that wants something easy. But living for God is not easy. Okay, I got about three amens and four all rights, but I'm going to tell you, when you live for God and you put the kingdom of God first, it's not always easy. The kingdom said, when somebody slaps you on the face, turn and give them the other cheek. When somebody talks about your mama, kingdom says, pray for them. Pray for those that hurt you. Pray for those that mistreat and abuse you. That's not an easy thing. Because you talk about my mama, I'm going to talk about your mama. Old Testament says it's an eye for an eye and it's a tooth for a tooth. But that's not the kingdom. That's why in the garden when they were getting Jesus and they were going to arrest him, Peter that said, I will never deny you, Lord, picks up a sword and cuts off an ear of a soldier. And the Lord picks down the ear, puts it back on that soldier's head, the very soldier that was going to lead him to death. And he looked at Peter and he said, Peter, we don't fight this through the flesh. We fight this through the spirit. There is a kingdom way. And we are on, and we are on every day. There are attacks and there's onslaught of hells that try to somehow get to our kids and get to our family and get into our homes and infiltrate our marriages. But there is a God that says you've got to reach up that resource from heaven and you've got to start using my name. You've got to start pleading the blood and you've got to start evoking the name of Jesus upon your home. I'm going to tell you what can help your home and your family and your marriages is for some moms and dads to make up their mind. When they stand up, they gonna say, I plead the blood on my marriage. I plead the blood on my kids. I plead the blood over my home. I'm telling you, we've got to evoke the name of Jesus. You say, Pastor, I've heard that for years and I haven't seen. Well, because you haven't been consistent about it. Only time you come to church is Christmas and Easter for some. And some of you are SMO, Sunday morning onlys. And God's saying you can't live for God Sunday morning only or Sunday night only. Only when the choir's hitting and the drum's hitting is the only time you get your praise and worship on. This ain't entertainment. This ain't a social club. If you can't praise God and worship God in your home, it's of no avail. If you do in the house of the Lord, if you can't pray when you're driving down the road and you can't pray at your job, then God's saying all you're doing on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night is just tinkling brass and sounding cymbal. He says, but I need some men and women that'll stand up in this untoward generation and put their feet on a solid rock and let this world know I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. The best thing you could ever do for your home, the best thing you could ever do for your marriage, the best thing you could ever do for your kids is to let your kids hear you pray. If I were to ask you tonight, today, how many believe in prayer? I believe everybody, Brother Tony, would raise their hand and say, I believe in prayer, right? If I ask somebody how many believes that prayer changes things, I believe everybody say, I believe. But the question is not how much do you believe in prayer, but how much do you pray? Not how much do you believe in reading the Word of God, because I know the Word of God is strength, it's a light, it's a map, it's everything that I need it to be, but not how much I believe in reading, but how much do I read the Word? Oh, well, I listen to pastor preach on Sunday. And sometimes, occasionally, I'll come to a Wednesday night Bible study and I'll get my fill. Well, if all we're doing is just listening and opening the Word of God on Wednesdays and Sundays, we have become what I preached about years ago. We've become spiritual hitchhikers. Hitchhiking on somebody else's anointing. and somebody else's walk with God. Thank God that you're here. I truly believe this. Listen to Pastor. I truly believe that it only takes one service. It only takes one Holy Ghost encounter. It only takes one service for God and you to change the course of your life. That's why there's people that say, "Well, Pastor, I don't know why they're coming. I don't know why they're not faithful." And I'm like, "Well, who are you? Did God call you to become His holy detective?" And say, "Well, I know where he was and I know what she's been doing. They don't deserve to be here." Well, neither do you. And neither do I. But by the grace of God, Bible said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God." Everybody is here today because of the grace of God. And I could care less what somebody did 5 minutes before service. What I really care about is they're here right now and they're hearing the Word of God. And the Bible says His Word will never return void. You get the Word of God. You get somebody that just comes hungry one day. That Word gets into their heart. I will tell you, it changes everything about you. Changes the way you talk, the way you act, the way you live. That's why when you come to work and they go, "There's something different about you. Everybody's overworked. Everybody's under pressure, but I can't. What are you on? Do you know that we have a drinking policy at work? You can't be drinking." That's what they thought of those that on the day of Pentecost. They thought they were all drunk. And Peter said, "They're not drunk as ye supposed, seeing it's only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." I'm telling you, when you get plugged in with Jesus, I don't care how bad a day you had. I don't care whether all hell is coming against you. When you got God in your life, you can raise your hands. You can shout. You can say, "God, I'm giving you praise." Why? Because God is fighting for you. That's why He said in His Word, when you become weak, He becomes what? Strong. And so the best thing you could ever do is you could bring them to the house of God. You could become like Jehoiada's wife and said, "I know your mama's out to kill everybody, but I'm going to grab you and I'm going to hide you into the house of God." I'm telling you, it's so imperative for us to bring our families to church. So imperative to pray with our families. So important to put God first in our lives. Bible says a carnal mind can't discern the things of the Spirit, because there are going to be some friends and family are going to say, "You go to church when? You go to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday? There's prayer on Monday? And then if you have revival? Wow! You're missing ball games. You're missing Monday night football. Now they got Thursday night football. You're missing the chance to be happy or sad. Happy when your team wins and sad when they lose." My response is this: as entertaining as it is, and if I were to start naming teams, I guarantee you there'd be boos and there'd be yahs. There would be, and that's okay. But I'm going to tell you, I don't think one of your favorite teams or favorite players that you spend hours watching and hours trying to find out more information, I don't think you've ever had them ever call you and say, "Hey, just wanted you to know, I appreciate you watching my games. I appreciate you rooting for me." I don't think they've ever healed your body. I don't think you've ever got a check in the mail that said, "Hey, number one fan, you get $1 million. I don't think that happens. But yet when we come to church and they think we're crazy and we raise our hands, because of a God that took away guilt and depression and loneliness, and He gave us love and joy and peace. And they think we're crazy because there was a king that took the bottle away and the drugs away, and I don't need it anymore. And they think I'm crazy when I come to church. No, they're the crazy ones because they don't understand what God has done for me. He has turned my life around. That's why David, when he understood that principle, he says, who am I that thou art mindful of? You start thinking about a God that changes. I'm telling you, he changes everything about you. The greatest thing you could ever do, though, is get your kids and your family, your home here, and to break the curse. We've got to break the curse. Just like I told you, my little girl, 2 years of age, I was praying, and we prayed many times, and even today, when she comes down home, and I thank God for that. And I don't understand it, Brother Reuben. There's going to come a time, you know, your baby's beautiful, and thank God for that. But I look at Brooklyn like that. Okay, Brooklyn's like 5'10". She's taller than me, and Tristan's now 5'9". I actually even had to apologize to Brooklyn the other day. I said, Brooke, you got to forgive Dad, because sometimes when I talk to you, I think you're a little baby still. And I'm asking, did you go potty? Did you brush your teeth? Did you? Dad! Because I think you're my kid. But I'm telling you, the greatest thing that I've ever done, and I know I haven't done a lot of great things, but the greatest thing I've ever done is to let them know the value of God, the value of church. The greatest thing you can ever do is to show your young boy the value of church. The greatest thing, decision that you can ever make, is to say, you know what, I'm going to give my baby what I was missing all my years. You know what I'm talking about? Because I'm telling you, I wasn't raised in this. And I look at my kids, I'm like, this is all they've ever known. All they've ever known was church. What a wonderful example that we can get to break the chain and break the curse and say, you know what, I may not have been raised in this, but I'm going to make sure my kids are raised in this. Because there's coming a day when the attacks of hell are going to come against them, and they're going to come to a crossroad in their life, and they're going to have to make their own decision, living for God or not. And if I've done my due diligence, and I've trained them, and I've taught them, and I've showed them, and I exemplified this kind of life, it could be that my efforts could save them. Somebody said this, children are like wet cement. Whatever falls on them, it makes an impression. And if I don't pray, they don't pray. If I don't value the house of God, they don't value the house of God. Isaac blessed his son. Jacob commanded his house to put away idols. David gives godly advice to his son Solomon before he dies. I wonder this morning, what are we doing for our family? What are we investing into our kids? What are we teaching our household? What are we building? Are we building our kingdom? Or are we building His kingdom? And can I be honest with you this morning? Hopefully, you kind of wonder, well, why does the preacher guy say, can I be honest with you? Does that mean he hasn't been honest before? That just comes some kind of a crutch that we say. Well, let me just tell you this. The church can't save you. Okay, I know that's going to go against some theology, but Mike, the church can't save you. The church can't help you if you don't help yourself. If your house doesn't intertwine to the house of God, we can't save you, because the church can't save anybody. God can save anybody, but God will not go against your will. But if you'll make up your mind, as Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If you don't want to serve God, you don't have to. But as for me and my house, we're going to pray. We're going to put God first. We're going to seek Him. Why? Because I want the blessings. I want the covering. I want God's hand and anointing on my baby. Because I can't do this by myself. those that know me know this, that I'm a pretty lovable guy, likable guy. I don't like confrontation, but I will confront when I have to. There's things I don't fight for. There's a lot of people that do fight for things. A lot of people just mean. You know what I'm saying? You go to a restaurant, you'll find somebody's true behavior. You know, their food gets cold or it's not cooked the way. They just lose Jesus. I mean, they come from a Holy Ghost revival shouting, and they're just being so mean at the waitress. And like, really? Who are you? Haven't you ever burnt your bacon? Burned your cornflakes or whatever? Bible says, you shall be known as my disciples is that you have love one to another. They may be having a bad day. I made a point, maybe because I was a waiter all my Bible college years, or two of my Bible college years, I made it a point that when I come and I go to eat, I try my best to tip more than what is customary, whether the service is good or the weather service is bad, because I want to leave a good impression. And I want to show my kids how we bless others. Because if you can learn to bless others, God can bless you. If you can learn to give people mercy, God can give you mercy. If you can give people grace, God can give you grace. But if you don't give out grace and you don't give out mercy and all you do are spiteful and you're mean, what you're doing is you're sounding signals to your kids. That's how we act. That's how we behave. If we don't get it our way, we're going to have a fit. We're going to have a tantrum. And your baby boy is beautiful, but there's coming a day. You're going to walk into Target, and they're going to want a toy. You have, their whole closet is full with stuff. And they're going to want something. And you're going to have to say the bad two-letter word, no. And you're going to see their spirit come out. They may flop, whatever they do on the ground. Because they don't like you saying no. But if you're going to be a true parent, you've got to be willing to say no. If you don't allow God to say no in your life, you can never call him Lord. David allowed God to say no. David wanted to do what? David wanted to build God a house. He wanted to build God a temple. And God says, no, Dave, you're a man of war, a man of blood. You can't build my house. And David could have said, really? It's like that? He could have walked out, but no. David said, if I can't build the house of God, I'm going to at least contribute to the house of God. David never built it, but he gathered all the gold and all the silver and all the stuff, and he gave it to his son Solomon and said, Solomon, I may not be able to build it, but guess what? There's coming a day, Solomon, you're going to be able to build my house. And if I can have a right spirit and if I can have a right attitude because of what God, the preacher, the pastor, the church said, if I could show my kids the right way to respond, it could be that your kid builds a house for God. We are called not to be their friends. We are called to be their parents. There's a lot of things I won't fight for, but I will fight for my family. I hate to burst your bubble here today. I was meeting with Alex a couple of days ago, and I told Alex this. I said, Alex, you probably already know this, but I'm going to give you my order of how I live my life. Are you ready? And I don't want to hurt your feelings because I love everyone. First of all, say, Pastor loves me. Okay. Doesn't want to hurt my feelings, but here's my order. God is number one in my life. It's me and God. It's my relationship. Okay. Number two is my family. And then it's my ministry. Thank God for my ministry. Thank God for God has called me to minister and to serve this body. But this ministry will never trump my family. If my ministry trumps my family, I create disorder. And if I create disorder, I create chaos. Every one of you have got to learn the principle. You may love your spouse, you may love your kids, but they can't be number one. God has got to be number one. You look in the life of Abraham. God says, I'm going to bless you. You're going to be the father of many nations. And he said, well, how are you going to bless? I'm going to give you a kid. And God gives him a kid, Isaac, whom he had loved. And all of a sudden, God says, Abraham, take thy son, thy only son, and offer him up as a sacrifice. Isn't it amazing? God didn't tell the wife. And God didn't tell Abraham, tell your wife. Because the wife asked Abraham, where are you going? Me and the lad are going to go worship. He didn't say, I'm going to kill our baby. He wouldn't have got far. Some about mama. But he listened to the voice. And I'm going to tell you, the Bible says God will not put on us anything that we can't bear. But I'm visualizing that. I love my kids. To put them on an altar. To raise a knife. To get ready to slay my boy. Because he said, God, it's you and me. I love him, but you come first. Because if you don't come first and he comes first, he becomes my idol. He becomes my God. And God says, if you want me to bless you, you learn the order. It is God first. It may not feel right. It may not sound right. You may not like it, but you've got to learn that God is first. First in your life, first in your marriage, first in your finances. God is first. When he's getting ready to plunge that knife into his boy, God saw his heart. And all of a sudden there was a ram that he heard a noise that was caught in the thicket. And Abraham said this, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord is my provider. Guess what? His son witnessed the Lord becoming the provider. Isaac witnessed and heard the voice of the Lord because of daddy. The greatest thing you could ever do is get your relationship with God right first. And the second thing is to win and save your family. Noah wasn't known for saving a city, but Noah was known for saving his family. You get the family right, you get all that right, then ministry starts taking care of. Every one of you have purpose, but don't let your dreams and your goals and your aspirations come before God's kingdom, because I want to build the right things. And there are associations that we've got to keep and associations that we've got to cut off, because there's a Bible, the Bible says there is a thief that seeks to steal, kill, and destroy. There's an adversary that does not like anything about you and wants to take you out. That's why in these days we've got to pray like we've never prayed before, and we've got to say, God, I can't do this, but I need your help. I'm going to tell you the greatest thing you could ever do, Reuben, for your boy, is you could pray for him. You could lay your hand on him. There was one time, Brother Reuben, years ago, I told my boy, I don't know how old he was. He was probably 5 or 6, and maybe a little older, but probably not that much older. But I said, Tristan, the other night, I was standing by your door, and I just watching you sleep. And I don't know what kind of response I was hoping for, but it wasn't the response that I got. So I just said, I love you. And he goes, that's creepy, Dad. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest thing you guys could ever do is you guys could talk to the Lord. God, I want you to anoint my baby. I want you to put a hedge around him. I want you to speak to that boy. God, you've blessed me in so many aspects and areas of my life. I want you to take him farther with you. I'm going to give him to your kingdom. When we start doing that, God starts taking notice and God starts blessing. You didn't do it by your talent. You didn't do it by your own ability, but God started to do that in your life. I want to build for my future, don't you? teach them in the ways that they should go. I want Brother Reuben, and I know your wife just left with her baby, but I want you to come, and I'll have you get on this row here. Bro, if you can come and sit on here, sit on that row, and then I'll have Brother Jose and Nicole bring your baby right here, and we're going to pray. And let's have the family, too. Let's have the whole family on that pew. Patrick, if you can give up that seat, I'm going to put them in that seat as well. So we'll put the families behind. But the greatest thing that you could ever do, and this is for everybody today, because after we pray for them, I need homes to pray. I need homes to make up their mind to say, you know what, things have got to be different. Because we face junk and we face ruts, and we can't let those ruts affect our lives. And the best thing that we could ever do as moms and dads, but as the church body, to pray for mother and father. As I don't know about you, but when I got Brooklyn and Tristan, they didn't give me a book on what you're supposed to do when they act up and how you're supposed to raise. And they didn't give me a book like that. They just, you know, 2 or 3 days and out you go. You're like, oh my goodness. And I remember when I brought my wife and I brought her to our car to put the car seat in the car. We had a really big car. It was a big minivan called a Ford Mustang. It's two doors. And I put the seat down and maneuvered that car seat, and it was tough. But it wasn't long till we had to sell the Mustang and get a car that was a little bigger. Because here's the deal, when we get our kids, it's not just you and your wife anymore, but God has blessed you with an offspring. And God's going to require from you some stuff. And that stuff is, what you gonna build? I've given you the most priceless gift that I could ever give. And God's just saying, can I count on you? I have blessed you. I'm going to tell you, both of you have come such a long way. I am proud of you. I knew y'all before y'all were dating. And God's brought you a long way, Brother Jose. He's done a lot of great things for you. And you've kind of broken chains to become spiritual patriarch in your family. And God's got a great revival for your family. And Nicole, he's done some great things for you. Tremendous things for you. Mama, dad that says, you know what? I'm going to fight for some stuff. Your mom and dad, they don't fight for a lot. But they said, I'm going to fight for you. And I remember a few months ago, or a few months into this, when they brought you back here. It wasn't the happiest times. But I saw God softening hearts. Because mom and dad says, we're putting God first. We're changing things. And so God said, if I can do it for you two, you need to give me this baby. You've got a job. Same thing with you two newlyweds, lovebirds. I haven't known you a lot through many years, just probably 4 or 5 years, 4 or 5 years. But what I have watched of you, God has done a miraculous thing in your life. Every time you just bust out running, I'm like, that's my boy, man. You love God. You love the kingdom. And you love this woman. And for mom and daddy, that's the best thing you can ever do. Don't have to buy her gifts or anything like that, but you love God and you love her. Makes an impact. God's done a lot of great things in your life. You become a spiritual patriarch in your home. And you're going to turn some things around in your family as well. Like I'm the spiritual patriarch in my home. It's kind of cool. And I've known you a long time. I've known your whole family a long time. We've done a lot of youth retreats together, haven't we? God's done a lot of great things. I'm so proud of you. And look at this little man right here. Yeah, he gave me a little smile. Gave me a little coo. And I'm going to tell you the greatest things we could do. Because when we dedicate babies, we don't really When we dedicate the baby, but we don't truly dedicate the baby, we dedicate mom and dad. Because right now, mom and dad is going to be held accountable for their kid. Because I don't think that he's got his license yet. I don't think this one can just drive and come to church and all of that. He needs mom and dad to help him. But they're going to be what you teach them to be. They're going to talk the way you talk. They're going to love the way you love. If you love the man of God, he's going to love the man of God. Yeah. But if you don't love the man of God and you talk about the man of God, he talks about the man of God. I don't say it's any way to bring me up at all. But there was Aaron and Miriam that got mad because Moses married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, God only speaks to Moses. And they were smitten with leprosy. They had to be shut out of the kingdom. It was going to affect their whole thing. But the man of God, Moses, says, have mercy on them. And God saved them. Greatest thing you could ever do is have them love the kingdom of God. And I'm telling you great things. I see little preacher men. I see revivalists. And it's just the beginning. But as we begin to pray, we're going to pray for mom and dad that will help them, that will teach them, that will train them in the ways that they should go. And when they're older, they shall not depart from it. But look, it's not just on them, but the burden is on us. The way you help my kids, the way you're helping my kids, has to be the way you're helping them. Because if we can get this understanding that we are part of the body, whether you like it or not, we're family. I may be crazy, but you gotta love me. I love them, and we're gonna pray for them. And we're gonna pray for the whole family. And we're asking God to come in. But really, it's about both of you. It's about understanding that I'm going to put God first. And when you do that, God just starts blessing, doesn't he? Hallelujah. Amen. I'm going to have you guys stand right here in front. I'll have your parents, your family behind you. And then I'm going to, just like I did when I married y'all, I'm going to give you a charge, okay? And I'll start over here. And then I'll go to you. Actually, we'll do it collectively. We'll do it collectively. So, Nicole and Jose, Reuben and Vanessa, you're bringing these beautiful children into God's presence and to be dedicated to Him. I need my ministerial team to come behind me as well. By this charge and statement of faith, just like when we did vows, if this is something you want to buy into, why don't you say we do, okay? Do you commit today that together we'll raise him in a way that pleases God by teaching him the Word of God? Do you both commit to bring this child up in the ways of God and to teach this child to put God first in every aspect of their lives? Do you both commit to model godliness in your home, in your marriage, in your communications and dealings with others? Do you both commit to protect him from the evil influence of this world? Do you both commit to teach this child to rely on the power of the Holy Ghost? Do you both commit to be faithful to the house of God, the things of God? Do you both commit to submit yourself and your child to your pastor that watches for your soul? And do you both commit to dedicate this child in the sight of the Lord and the sight of this congregation to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might? Wonderful. Now is a charge to us. If I can have every one of you stand to your feet, members, families, and friends of Abundant Life Center, today these couples are bringing their children to be dedicated to the Lord. And what we really are doing is dedicating these families, dedicating mom and dad, because we know If mom and dad don't live this, these kids won't live this. So we're dedicating families today. Do you as a church, family, friends, and loved ones commit to surround them with love, grace, and truth of the body of Christ? Will you stand with them in prayer? Will you speak the truth in their love into their lives? Will you serve them in humility, encourage them in the Word of God? Do you receive these children as a blessing from the Lord to be instructed, protected, and blessed in this fellowship together? Amen. Would you stretch your hands forth right now? We're going to begin to pray. We're going to begin to ask God to touch and dedicate these babies. Why don't we step out from where we are? Why don't families get with families? Why don't we begin to pray with one another? Why don't we just pray, God, help my home become a spiritual home. Help, God, let love be a dialect in our home. Help us pray together. Help us to read your word. Help us, God, to exemplify this. Come on, everybody praying for somebody. We need the hand of the Lord on us. We need his favor. We need his touch. Hallelujah. Help us, God. Help us, God. Birth in us the desire for your word. Let us learn to pray. Let us turn our homes into a spiritual home, into a spiritual environment. We love you, God. We need you today. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, I love you today. Love you today. Come on, that's beautiful. The best thing you can ever do is pray. Be a family that prays together. For a family that prays together, stays together. Help me, God, as a dad. Help me, God, to be a godly father. Help me, God, to teach my kids in the ways they should go. Help my home. Help my marriage. Help my relationships. Oh, I've got family that need this. I've got friends that need this. Let us be that lighthouse. Let us be that beacon of truth. Hallelujah. Come on, this is beautiful. This is beautiful in the house of the Lord. Amen.